sometimes I'm a bad, bad girl, but I try not to be in the kitchen, especially when I can learn from incredible food experts like my next guest. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And my next guest for our Tuesday 2:30 segment of Yes, Chef is Chef Adam Pavlak. You can find Adam and I here on Tuesdays at every 2:30. Mark your calendars. Welcome back, Adam. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me. This is always a great segment. We always talk about good things, which I like. You know, stay positive.
Absolutely. Plus, I think everybody needs a little relief from all the politics of the day, and nothing better to talk about than food. We are a food-centric culture. But Adam, you and I were chatting a little bit earlier today, and I always find it a big challenge, and I think many of you do as well, to find the time to cook at home, especially if you are working every day. There are so many obstacles to cooking at home. You know a little bit about this. You've thought about this. Folks, if you have obstacles to cooking at home, give Chef Adam and I a call. We'll talk about them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Adam and I are here to help you solve your how do you get it done without resorting to the hamburger helper, heaven forbid, right?
And maybe hamburger helper is part of the meal, but we're gonna upgrade that for you. I would say it will keep you away from rolling through, you know, the fast food spots all the time or thinking that that's the only option.
I have to admit, like, in desperation, I have hit up the fast food. It, you know, I can get full and it's fast and it's relatively inexpensive, but I know it ain't good for me. It's interesting. Yeah. We were talking about the hamburger helper. What are some of the workarounds, Adam, for when listeners and people out there, I know you all have challenges to getting a nice hot meal on the table for you and your family. What are some of the workarounds, Adam, or common obstacles that you hear people talking about when it comes to home cooking?
Sure. So number one thing is people don't like to do dishes, which I totally understand, and I get that, which doesn't mean that you can't do one pot dishes, depending on how many people you're cooking for, or doing something that you can throw in the oven. Let's say you're doing roast proteins and roasted veggies or something like that, or something that you can get done in one pan so that you only have one to clean when you're all done. And when you're at home with your family, just remember, it's not the worst if you're not worrying about, you know, fancy plating and all that to serve on, you know, disposables or something like that, or make your meal hands, you know, eat with your hands and you have a few napkins or something. That's also something fun where it's like family style where you can put something on a platter and everyone just kind of digs in around it. But I would say the number one thing is people don't want to do dishes.
Oh, I hate dishes. I grew up in a house. We didn't have a dishwasher. I was the dishwasher, right? Like, that was my job. And my mom was a home cook, right? So there was a lot of dishes. And all my buddies in the hood knew that they had to come over, help me get the dishes done before I could go out to play, right? So I also became an expert in the architecture of these stacked dishes. The Leaning Tower of Pisa of dishes. That is a big one. One of my quick fixes for that is I love a crock pot. You can get your veggies, your protein, and some of your starches, if that's your jam, into the crock pot. Crock pots these days are nonstick. They clean, at least somewhat nonstick. They clean up pretty easily.
They make it easy for you.
Yeah. What do you have some favorite crock pot recipes or what's the basics of it? Because sure. I change it up all the time, Chef.
So I don't use a crock pot as often as I think, like, you know, the normal person that's just at the home cook. But one thing I will say, since we are getting into this time, is everyone knows that it is almost soup season. And I guess for me, it's always soup season because it depends on what you're making. But I consider the soup, making a big pot of soup is also that one.
Oh, Adam, you cut out
a lot of meat and veggies and protein.
Yeah, Adam, we're going to come back. Why don't you give us a call in? You just broke up for a second, and I want to be sure people hear these great tips. Adam, give us a call. I just put it in the chat for you, 855-752-4842. Adam's talking about we're coming up on soup season. That is one of my favorite things to do. Cause if I've got, say, 2 or 3 hours on like a Sunday, I can knock out the soup and then I've got meals for a couple of days, right? I can freeze it. I usually make an absolute huge, huge amount of soup, and I'll cheat it a little bit, Chef Adam. Personally, my hack on soup is I'm not making my own broth. I'm buying the broth in the grocery store. That gets me going on the soup very, very easily. What's your basic approach to soup, Chef Adam? Is it okay? Is it an okay hack to go ahead and buy the broth in the store? Is that all right?
I think if you're cooking at home, buying broth in the store is great, actually. Just get a high-quality one, especially if you're going to be using it as the base of your soup.
Yes.
Definitely. And it's also fun to make a bunch, too, if you really want to, is save your scraps. You know, save your scraps in, like, a big Ziploc bag. This is not one of those hacks, and keep it in your refrigerator. And then when you feel like you have a big, you know, gallon Ziploc bag packed and full, throw it in a pot with some water and let it go. And then you can either strain that off or you can hold it and you can freeze it and then use it a little bit at a time.
Yeah. So when you say scraps, do you mean like bone scraps, leftover meat scraps, veggie scraps, all the above, right?
Sure. I would say all the above. I would keep the meat separate from your veggies, obviously. But if you want to do that, you know, like when you're cutting up an onion, you got the ends, or, you know, everyone wants to cut the celery end off and get the fancy part, you know, keeping that, or carrots, or if you're peeling something, that's really good too. No matter what it is, just keep that sealed in your refrigerator and then use that. I've even seen people use their broth and put it into like ice cube trays and freeze it. So you can really just use small amounts at a time if you want to.
Yeah, that is hugely helpful, even just to juice up, you know, a dry protein. You drop that in the pan with it, and all of a sudden you got good natural broth going. So let me ask you a different question about the soup. I am too lazy to strain my soup. Now, if I'm using scraps to make a broth, you got to strain it because you don't want the leftover bits in your soup. But is straining soup, if you're using a store-bought broth, is straining the soup necessary?
Depending on what you are, like what you're doing with it, I would say something that's really cool that I think people could get behind, especially if they want to cook more at home or soups in general, is getting one of those hand immersion blenders. You could probably get one from like Amazon or from Target, one of these stores, you know, you plug it in and then whatever is in your soup, whether as long as it's not like protein of bones or something, if it's something soft that's been cooking for a while, you stick that immersion blender stick right in there and blend it up, and that'll actually enhance and get that flavor into your soup even better. So if you're not a strainer person, you just want to deal with it, you can get everything in there that you want and then just blend it up with that stick blender. You don't even have to worry about pouring it off into a blender or anything and the top exploding. You just put the stick blender in there, pulse it up to whatever consistency, depending on the soup. I like to leave it not completely smooth sometimes, or if I'm going to do it, I get it completely smooth again.
Yeah, I have to say, I have blown the top off of a stand-up blender a couple of times trying to make, you know, like cream of types of soups. Watch out, folks. Don't do that one. Adam, I think you have just landed on one of...
So you give them the blender hack.
Yes.
Yeah, when you're using a blender, take the little circle off over the top where people can pour things in, and then just use a towel and leave a little bit of space, because what happens is it gets so hot inside of that canister for your blender that it builds up, and then it wants to explode. So just make sure that it has steam coming out of your blender top so that you have somewhere for the heat to go, and that will not happen. But I've definitely seen that and have done that in my career.
Yeah, it's not fun. I had some light burns. It's just like putting something in the microwave with a lid firmly sealed on it. It'll blow the top off of it. And Adam, you hit on one of the greatest quick cooking hacks I have ever come across, and that is the stick blender, the immersion blender for soups. You do it right in the pot. You're cooking it in. You rinse the blender off. It's super easy. I love those things. And they have all kinds of, you don't have to buy the top of the wine. You buy a functional one that's decently rated on Amazon. We've got a question from one of our listeners, Kurt from Madison, asks Chef Adam, when do you buy a stock versus a broth?
Okay, so I mean, with the stock, that's going to be something a little bit more intense flavor, and I would use stock more so for soups or like a sauce or something that you're going to directly do. When you're using a broth, I like to use the broth more so for braising something or getting more flavor into it, because you're going to see it's going to be a little bit lighter. And also, one tip to buying stocks, broth, stuff like that, is always read the back and try to get the stuff that is as pure as possible, the stuff that has the least amount of ingredients in it, and low sodium, because you can always add your own salt content to that, especially with soups or broths or stuff like that. So try to get it as clean as possible, or talk to your butcher. The best way, I would say, is making your own, is just getting some butcher bones or scraps or something that they might be able to even give you for free. And then you just, like I said, throw that in a pot, brown that, put water over it, and let that go for, 2 to 6 hours, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I think I have always been of the buy the low sodium broth or stock. Chef Adam affirming that because you can always add salt. You can't take it away, folks. We've got another listener texting in with one of his tips. I wanted to get your reaction to this, Adam. Scott from Shorewood texting in that he likes to add just a smidge of gelatin to clear soups to improve mouthfeel. I have never heard that one before. Is that a thing, Chef Adam?
Yeah, so I like that. What I would say, what I'm used to, and what people can do as well, is that gelatin naturally comes out of proteins, right? Especially
Yes.
when there's a lot of fat. So let's say you cook a bunch of chicken feet or chicken bones, something like that, and you're only wanting a clear soup, you're going to have that mouthfeel on there where it's kind of almost coating your mouth or your tongue or the roof of your mouth, where you really feel that. And it's a different feeling than something that's just really oily and fat. I think we all know that difference.
Yes.
Where you're like, wow, like that needs to go, compared to just giving the clear broth or soup some body to it.
Yeah.
So I like that. I would just say that the best way to go about that is that natural way of doing that, and that would just be imparting that protein and that fat that's in there, which just means you can cook it a little bit longer. But if you're going to cook it a little shorter, I like that. That's a good little tip there.
I love it. Folks, you're listening to Chef Adam Pavlok, owner and operator of Egg and Flour. He joins me every Tuesday at 2:30. We're talking about obstacles to cooking at home today. What obstacles have you confronted? What are some of your solutions? 855-752-4842. We kind of glazed over it, pun intended there, Chef, but we were talking about crockpot. We're talking about crockpot cooking. We're going to take care of a couple of messages here in about 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you, Chef Adam, it is crockpot cooking is really easy, is it not? What are the basic building blocks if somebody wants to throw some protein, veg, and starch into a crockpot? Is there any magic to it?
I think most important thing with that is add all your seasonings at the end as well, because you don't know what's going to happen that time, especially when people set the crock pot and then they go to work and come back and want that meal. But just make sure that you're seasoning at the end. Make sure that there's enough liquid in there, so that your food that's in the crock pot isn't burning up or drying out, because it's a long period of time. And don't be scared of the low and slow setting. Everything doesn't have to be set on high.
Yeah, the thing I like most about crockpot cooking is you can use those cheaper cuts of meat that tend to be tougher because it is going to cook so low and so slow. Folks, if you've got a cooking at home obstacle, you got a great hack for that, call us up or text on in 855-752-4842. We're going to take care of some business here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and come back with Chef Adam after these brief messages. Keep it locked.